dim line of canyons, from which rose up an upflinging of the earth, not mountainous, but a vast heave of purple uplands with ribbed and fan-shaped walls, castle-crowned cliffs, and gray escarpments. Over it all crept the lengthening, waning afternoon shadows. The rapid beat of hooves recalled Jane Witherstein to the question at hand. A group of riders cantered up the lane, dismounted, and threw their bridles. They were seven in number, and Toll, the leader, a tall, dark man, was an elder of Jane's church.
"Did you get my message?" he asked curtly.
"Yes," replied Jane.
"I sent word I'd give that rider Venters half an hour to come down to the village. He didn't come."
"He knows nothing of it," said Jane. "I didn't tell him. I've been waiting here for you."
"Where is Venters?"
"I left him in the courtyard."
"Here, Jerry,"
called Toll, turning to his men.
"Take the gang and fetch Venters out here if you have to rope him."
The dusty-booted and long-spurred riders clanked noisily into the grove of cottonwoods and disappeared in the shade.
"Elder Toll, what do you mean by this?" demanded Jane. "If you must arrest Venters, you might have the courtesy to wait till he leaves my home. And if you do arrest him, it will be adding insult to injury. It's absurd to accuse Venters of being mixed up in that shooting fray in the village last night. He was with me at the time. Besides, he let me take charge of his guns. You're only using this as a pretext. What do you mean to do to Venters?"
"I'll tell you presently," replied Toll. "But first, tell me why you defend this worthless rider."
"Worthless!" exclaimed Jane indignantly. "He's nothing of the kind. He was the best rider I ever had. There's not a reason why I shouldn't champion him, and every reason why I should. It's no little shame to me, Elder Toll, that through my friendship he has roused the enmity of my people and become an outcast. Besides, I owe him eternal gratitude for saving the life of little Fay."
"I've heard of your love for Fay Larkin, and that you intend to adopt her. But Jane Witherstein, the child is a Gentile."
"Yes, but Elder, I don't love the Mormon children any less because I love a Gentile child. I shall adopt Fay if her mother will give her to me."
"I'm not so much against that. You can give the child Mormon teaching," said Toll. "But I'm sick of seeing this fellow Venters hang around you. I'm going to put a stop to it. You've so much love to throw away on these beggars of Gentiles that I've an idea you might love Venters."
Toll spoke with the arrogance of a Mormon whose power could not be brooked, and with the passion of a man in whom jealousy had kindled a consuming fire.
"Maybe I do love him," said Jane. She felt both fear and anger stir her heart. "I'd never thought of that. Poor fellow. He certainly needs someone to love him."
"This'll be a bad day for Venters unless you deny that," returned Toll grimly.
Toll's men appeared under the cottonwoods and led a young man out into the lane. His ragged clothes were those of an outcast, but he stood tall and straight, his wide shoulders flung back with the muscles of his bound arms rippling and a blue flame of defiance in the gaze he bent on Toll. For the first time, Jane Witherstein felt Venter's real spirit. She wondered if she would love this splendid youth. Then her emotion cooled to the sobering sense of the issue at stake.
"Venters, will you leave Cottonwoods at once and forever?" asked Toll tensely.
"Why?"
rejoined the rider.
"Because I order it."
Venters laughed in cool disdain. The red leaped to Toll's dark cheek.
"If you don't go, it means your ruin,"
he said sharply.
"Ruin?"
exclaimed Venters passionately.
"Haven't you already ruined me? What do you call ruin? A year ago, I was a rider. I had horses and cattle of my own. I had a good name in Cottonwoods. And now, when I come into the village to see this woman, you set your men on me. You hound me. You trail me as if I were a rustler. I've no more to lose, except my life. Will you leave Utah?"
"Oh, I know," went on Venters tauntingly. "It galls you.